Now, it was the first day of Holy Week, the last week of Jesus' earthly ministry. He had just ridden into Jerusalem in triumph on the back of a donkey, fulfilling the ancient words of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, clearly declaring to all the world that he was indeed Israel's Messiah, the Savior of the world. And then, having entered the holy city, he went directly to the holy temple. The temple to which Jesus went was what scholars call Herod's temple. It was the third temple to have been built to the honor of God in the city of Jerusalem. And it was indeed a resplendent place. It was the place where Israel believed that God's feet touched earth. It was considered by all Jews to be the most sacred place on the face of the entire earth. Jesus, the Son of God, was visiting the very house of his Father on earth that moment in time. Jesus had come home to God's holy temple. The temple was a busy place that day. Thousands of people were coming and going there on an ordinary day. But this was Passover week. There were huge crowds come to Jerusalem simply to go to the temple, and they were there that day when Jesus came in. The outer court of the temple, the open place, was thronged with people. And there in the outer court of the temple, Jesus saw those who were selling. Now, temple worship required the offering of animals as sacrifice to God. These animals had to be of a special quality. As the Old Testament explained, they had to be without spot or wrinkle, without blemish. They had to be perfect. Centuries before Jesus came, for the convenience of those who came to the temple, the priest had set up a system whereby these animals could be purchased in the outer court of the temple for a fair price. This way, one was assured that the animal he offered to God would be of acceptable quality to God. Also, one could purchase the animal there in the temple, so it would not be necessary to bring the animal to the temple, which could be difficult, particularly if you were traveling over a long distance to get there. Now, here's what you need to remember. Initially, the idea was good. The concept was totally acceptable at its beginning. It was all done to assist those who came to the temple to worship Almighty God. But with time, things changed. Temptation changed things. The people who ran this system saw an opportunity to make money. Greed entered the picture. They began to charge unfairly high prices for the animals they offered. At first, they argued that since the animals had to be of especially high quality, it was reasonable to charge an exceptionally high price. Then they considered the added convenience of not having to get the animal before you came to church, and that too deserved an additional charge. I mean, after all, they were doing all the work for you. You ought to at least be willing to pay for it, right? By the day in question, the time of Jesus, the system had simply gone haywire. Prices literally gone through the roof. The priests who ran the system were severely overcharging. They were gouging the people of God in God's own house, taking clear advantage of those who came to worship there. In fact, by this time, they were saying you couldn't bring your own animal. You had to buy the ones they were selling, and you had to pay the price they were charging. Sin had taken over. Now, just for the record, this is the way things go. It starts from a good intention, a true desire to offer service to God and to the people of God. But temptation gets in the way. Greed enters the hearts of those involved. They see a chance to make a buck, and then sin rules. So often, that which started in a pure heart is ruined by wrong motives over time. On the day about which Barbara read to you, when Jesus entered the temple, he encountered a system that was totally corrupt by the greedy motives of men. And to make it worse, those who were taking advantage of God's people were the priests God had ordained to serve his people. The people of God were being cheated by God's own priest. Imagine it. Now, Jesus' reaction to the system is recorded in all four Gospels. He was so incensed by what he saw that day that he began to overturn the tables of those who were cheating the people of God. In the other Gospels, we are told that Jesus began to drive out those who were buying and selling, the people who were cheating his people, with a whip. In every gospel, he is quoted as saying, "My house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." Jesus was quoting scripture, Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7, and Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 11, both declare that God's house will be a holy house of prayer. But in Jesus' day, God's house had become a den of religious robbers who were cheating and stealing from the people of God. Now, are you ready? Here are the lessons. Number one, God's servants, those he has ordained and called, should never cheat his people. This is the message of God from God's word to me, to Lois, to Peter, to Ken Martin, to Rob, to DJ, to every servant who God raises up from this house and who he ordains to special ministry, who he calls to shepherd his people. We must never, I repeat, never allow temptation to enter and greed to rule our hearts. We must never allow God's house to become a den of robbers, and we must certainly not become the robbers who are in the den. Especially not as the consequence of our own sin must we allow such things to take place. For we do not live to be served by God's people, but to serve them as God's shepherds, protecting and caring for his sheep, even if we must lay down our own lives to do so. And to the people of God, all the people of God must remember that this is his house, and that this house will be a holy house of prayer. We do not come here to buy or sell from each other. We do not come here simply to fellowship with each other, even though the fellowship of God's sons and daughters is rich and warm. We come here to pray, to reach out to God, and to be spoken to by God from His holy word through His holy scripture, His Holy Spirit. This place, you ready? This place is like no other place on earth. For we come here not to commune with each other, but to commune with God, our Holy Father. How blessed we are when we come to this place. For here, in this very spot, we meet with Him. Now and forevermore, throughout all of time, let this be a holy place. Let this be a house of prayer.